Hello, this is Vlad, and you are listening to Olafil's Fantasy Podcast.
I mean, we got the rundown set. We got the rundown set on a Wednesday, almost a Tuesday. All the Fields Fantasy Podcast. Listen, we took a little week off, a little Pro Bowl hiatus. You know, it's the week in between the Super Bowl and the championship rounds, you know, in the football season. Like, what are we going to talk about, really? You know, the props weren't too super set yet. We have our own things going on. So, Jeff and I, a little nice little week vacay with the families, you know, doing what we got to do to make sure we're keeping our heads straight and just getting relaxed for this in-depth Super Bowl. Not really that much preview, but we're going to talk a lot because, you know, the people are clamoring for it, Jeff. And they're clamoring for Reaper Ranch. They're clamoring for new items. And we're here to satisfy everyone's needs. How you doing, Jeff?
Well, I was going to go the other way with the days of the week. I was thinking it was going to be Thursday. This week has been dragging a little bit for me out here in sunny Southern California. But as always, I'm excited to be here with you, my good friend, fresh off that vacay, rejuvenated, ready to go. You've been grinding. I've been grinding. We've got a rundown. We're doing it for the listeners, for the people, a little pre the big game, getting y'all ready for your big game experiences with your big game people. And just in time for the big game at Taco Bell, you can get your buffalo something fries. They're buffalo fries.
What a
buffalo
salesman.
Fry burrito.
What a salesman.
Live Moss. I mean, we got that nacho party pack still out there. If you haven't seen that thing, it's a monster. It's a beast. Always grinding, always swagging. Will, the people want to know. I mean, if anything, there were Instagram stories, there were photos, there were texts, but I need a Vegas rundown. I need a recap. I need an evaluation of the show. You hit up Frankie's Tiki Room.
Oh, man.
You were with Muff. Did any special guests show up? Give me the rundown.
Oh, boy. So, first night, I'll go quick as possible here. First night, I land at 10 p.m. I had already, you know, obviously flying from North Carolina, been up all day. Land at 10 p.m. in Vegas. Muffin had already been there for about a couple hours. Get to the room. Stay up until 6:30 a.m., So I was up for 27 hours. He was up for probably like 20-ish or so. He was probably up for 24 hours, actually. He was gambling. It's the wee parts of the night. We made a deal. No one gambles until the next morning. So he took that as 12:01 a.m. So we started gambling at 12:01 a.m. Did a quick walk through the strip, seeing where we were going to hit up for the spots for Premier League, for football, all that stuff. Stayed up till 6:30, woke up at 8:30. Nice 2 hours of rest for the old brunch at the Luxor Buffet. Just kind of getting our you know, bodies ready for the day ahead of us. Muff, of course, striking gold with his soccer bets, his Buffalo. He was down early, I'll tell you that right now. Down early, down a lot early, but there was no quit in his game, I'll tell you that right now. We each agreed upon a certain amount of money we were bringing to Vegas, and that money quickly escalated when it came to him. I stuck hard and true, though, so I was proud of myself. Then it came to the show. Big night on Saturday. We talked about this leading up to it. There's UFC, the Conor McGregor Cerrone fight, which, you know, we watched that on my phone while Scaring Kids was getting ready to come up to play, because that's how quick that fight was. So that actually worked out perfectly. Got a nice ramen joint in downtown, or, you know, Old Vegas, which is right across the street from the concert. Solid $1.99 Jameson. Just can't go wrong with that. And then watched the show. And we got a newfound love for the band Secrets. Great performers. Been listening to their album, one of their albums now, a lot recently. So good performers, all that. But Scary Kids, I mean, whatever expectations I had going into it were blown out, like, of the water. It was outstanding. I had already kind of mentioned before that I watched, like, a concert vid from a couple, you know, to kind of spoil myself, and it was awesome, man. Like, the atmosphere was great. They sounded amazing live. Tyson was cool and everything, but he never sounded the greatest live, you know, their original singer.
Yeah.
Cove, who has been a part of a million bands, he he stood out literally in the crowd for probably 80% of the songs. He was just like on the railing, like leaning into the crowd the entire time. Great show.
Security did not look pleased. The security guards did not look pleased.
They did not. I'm sure if you saw one of Muffin's videos, there was a little mini scuffle in the front row. These two dudes were fighting each other. There was you see a punch thrown. They stopped the show, and Cove just started talking to everybody like you know, pretty emo-y. Like, we're all just here to love each other and respect each other. And I'm like, oh god, here we go. Is he gonna cancel the show? But that was interesting. And Muff, I do have to say, Muff made a great call on Saturday night. The concert ended at like midnight, so the plan was to go to Frankie's after that concert.
Yeah,
legendary Frankie's, because it was probably a mile away. And he made the call that, you know what, it's already midnight. His voice is already going. The championship games are tomorrow morning. Let's do the Tinky Room Sunday night. And I agreed. I was like, all right, sounds like a plan. That's smart. Next day, championship. We go to NFC AFC Championship. We go to South Point, Vegas. Solid place. Free to get in to like this movie theater showroom where everything was like $1 for hot dogs, $1 for popcorn, $2 for like chicken wings. I don't know what it was. And then, you know, of course, he wanted to get Muffin set to go. We went crazy on Sunday. Got Adioses and Long Islands for $4. And just kept, yeah, he really wanted to go crazy. I think shots of Fireball were $4. So did all that. Buckets of Bud Light, buckets of Ultra, whatever. Great, great experience. He won more of his bets. And we'll get to one of them coming up. But one of the bets that I made him do, of course, I didn't do myself, was will a team score in the first 5 minutes of the game? And I was like, oh my, and it was like plus 180 or plus 200. I was like, oh my god, what an easy bet. Like, we should totally do it. And I didn't have any cash on me. So he did it. Naturally, it hits with like the first 3 minutes the Titans score. I was like, oh my god.
Yeah.
So we'll get to that one coming up. After that, went straight to the Saw escape room. You know, you can have whatever opinions on that. It was fine. I thought it was okay. Muffin had a great time, though. The Saw
expert. Did you guys escape?
I think we did. I mean, we did, but it could be, you know, we can say that for the Escape Room podcast. And after that,
did you go with other people, or was it just you and Muff?
Yeah, it was like, I think there was a total of 7 of us. I actually have a picture of us that they sent to us. I think there was a total of 7, so it was like 5 strangers. I mean, they were all together, so it was like a group of 5, and then me and Muff.
Okay.
So they all knew each other. I mean, I guess, like, I was pretty toasty at this point without really realizing it. We'd been drinking all day. But, you know, it was very confusing to me. Whatever, we'll save it for the escape room pod. From here, this is where we go to Frankie's. Frankie's was like a 5-minute drive. We take an Uber there. Muffin, coincidentally, knows. So we meet up with, like, these two dudes. Like, you're not going to believe me when I say these names, but Rocky and Brian, I believe their names are. So we met a Rocky. Mm. So that was cool.
Interesting.
I forget how he knew them, but they were already there. One skull deep, or whatever, one tiki deep. And just to culminate the night, I don't know if I sent you this picture. I sent Ashley this picture of me. So we get there at like 10 p.m., and there are skull levels, for those who don't know, based on the strongness of the drinks, and they range from, is it 1 to 5 or 3 to 5? You'll have to, if you know the actual answer.
I've never been. All I know is that it's 5 skulls or bust. That's my mantra.
Exactly. So I think it's from 1 to 5, but it could be from 3 to 5. We went straight for the fivers. We each had a 5 skull to start. I had 1. Next thing you know, I'm just passed out. Like, not really passed out. I would say just sleeping. I'm going to say I remember the whole night. I just remember resting my head, closing my eyes. I sent a picture to Ashley at 10:58 p.m., so roughly 50 minutes after getting to the place, I have this glazed look on my face, like I have only had 1 drink. Help me. And I remember Muff even taking my credit card after this. Solid move by Muff. Hey, you said you're gonna buy the second round, right? And I was like, yeah, sure. And like he just took it and bought 2 more. And, I mean, I didn't drink the second one. The drink was strong, very strong, if I do say so myself. And I remember just like sucking the last half of it down, just being like, oh, it ain't so bad now. You know, that's how you kind of know if it's going to hit you. And, you know, the end of the night, we roll out after that. One of his friends, either Rocky or Brian, I'm not sure which one, comes with us back to the Luxor, and they stay out till 5 in the morning gambling again. Meanwhile, I go straight to bed. Muff walks in at like 4:30 or 5 in the morning, wakes me up. He goes like, guess who just hit it big, Boyle, on Buffalo? And he sends me a video of it just racking up to like 500 or 600. And he says, I'm still under, but that helped a lot. And I was like, oh, good morning to you, Muff. So there you go. That was a nice 10 minutes short rundown of Vegas. That Frankie's place, though, it really it definitely surpassed all the Muffin expectations in terms of the five school wonders.
Well, I'm tired just listening to the story. I mean, the lack of sleep was just, it was a bit much for me.
Ashley, you know, in North Carolina, so it's 9:30 a.m. her time that first morning. And I'm texting her saying, hey, you know, like, hey, going to bed. Meanwhile, she's like having coffee, you know, like it's the sun is up in North Carolina. And she's like, he's saying goodnight. Like, you know.
What?
She was very concerned for our well-being. There you go. Woo!
You survived. You made it, though. Woo.
We did, and I...
The South Point was good, though. I mean, you guys kind of called it a revelation.
We
of did. Sorts.
We actually said we want to stay there next time. It was beautiful casino. Huge. Sportsbook was awesome. And I just texted him, I want to say like 3 days ago, saying, hey, I'm finally washing my Vegas clothes, a.k.a. the straight Smokies. That always what happens when you come back from Vegas. Your bag smells you know, like a prostitute's training bag. It just does not go well. But Jeff, that was the Vegas trip. That was a nice 3 to 4 day weekend of debauchery with Muff. And you mentioned like, oh, have you ever gone there? You know, have you ever hung out with him by yourself? Blah 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 blah. Amazing. It was a great time. I think he would say the same thing. Just a good couple of dudes doing some dude things.
A lot of dudes.
Yeah, and
Rocky Balboa out here, and Brian.
The dude named Rocky. Jeff, I want to get your thoughts on The Outsider. You are now four. It is now four episodes in. To me, first episode was okay. Second episode was amazing. Third was okay. This fourth one, I'm not too sure how I'm feeling about it. Give me your thoughts, because you got to start talking now on the beginning of this show, The Outsider, on HBO. It's not TV. It's HBO.
I think you just hit it perfectly. You know, the first episode hooked me a little bit. Second episode locked me in. So I'm pretty much locked in for the entire rest of the season after that second episode. I do agree. It's always tough when you're trying to do the supernatural in the real world without making it too like cheesy. And I think thus far, up until maybe the back half of the fourth episode, they had done a really good job because it was mostly like mystery suspense. Mm-hmm. You knew that it could be supernatural. It could be some conspiracy. There were multiple theories, and now it's kind of like, okay, trending towards the supernatural. So I think it's about execution at this point going forward. The new detective character lady, I mean, she kind of, it's hard to watch her at times. I mean, that's just her character. Mm-hmm. Her personality is very interesting, but again, I've been entertained. I've been locking all my doors after, you never know. Yeah. And, what's going down after you watch The Outsider at night, Shay has declared we will not be watching it under the cover of darkness anymore. We will be watching it in the daytime only. So that just gives you a chance, but we're a bunch of scaredy cats. So we're enjoying it. We're going to keep watching. Can't be much. Can there be much more at this point? There's going to need to be another twist if this is going on for 10 episodes.
There's going to have to be some sort of La Reveal Magnifico in the next episode, because you can't have what just happened in the fourth episode where there was like some random oracle just appears out of nowhere and explains pretty much the entire plot.
Yeah, exactly.
That was kind of weird. And to your point about the supernatural in the you know, realistic vibe, It's tough when, like, as a viewer, you kind of know what's going on, and the people in the show are still like, huh? And you're just like, oh my god, you're like, just, you want them to figure it out already. Like, I've seen this dude in a hood 18 times already. How has no one seen him? Or, you know, some mystery man is visiting a daughter. Can you just act like you and humor her for a little bit? And maybe there is someone visiting her? Like, Jesus. Like, let's go. But I'm in. I mean, you're like you said, after that second episode, you're like, I'm gonna watch it. I'm just gonna watch it and hope for the best.
Yes, sir. Looks like you're watching some Curb, too.
Yeah, I'm watching Curb, but we don't need to get into that because we got to keep this chugging along, my man. I went on for way too long in that Vegas thing. I do want to touch on one last thing. Last night, I was looking forward to this for 2 weeks, all right? 2 weeks I was looking forward to this local place over here called the Flying Saucer. Flying Saucer, great spot. Millions of draft beers, like just a cool place to go. And very underrated food. Had their weekly trivia night. And this time, we don't really ever go because, you know, we always lose. But this night was focused. The NFL, the National Football League, our league.
Ooh,
trivia.
Our league.
Solely focused on the NFL. So, you know, I've had this date circled, and I said, we are going, and we're going to win. We're going to win this $50 gift card, you know. And we went, and Jeff.
We hit the almanac every night.
I didn't need to. We got a little couple quizzes with Ash asking me who was drafted in the 2000 NFL draft, number one overall. It was a Courtney Brown by the Cleveland Browns, but I digress. Jeff, these are a sampling of the questions. I'm going to give you just a quick little quiz. Let's say as Jeffrey Hutchins, you're walking into a bar and they say, tonight's NFL trivia night. How do you think you would do?
Honestly, probably not very well.
Okay.
This may come as a shock to you, though. I really only became a big NFL fan maybe in like 2012 or so. I was more of a college guy up until that point. So,
and fantasy, of course, helps.
Yeah, fantasy was a big part of that. Paying attention, watching weekly, the ins and outs of the league. I feel like outside of that point, I'm obviously not on your level. I put myself probably in the top, you know, 80% of the population in terms of NFL knowledge, though.
Well, let's go ahead and see how you would do on this NFL trivia night. And
oh, no.
Give you a couple of these questions here. Are you ready, Jeff? I'm going to start off with some real barn burners.
Get everything back. I know nothing.
No, I mean, we'll see how you do. You ready? Here we go.
Well, barn burners for you are
Drew Brees.
Be toughies for me.
Drew Brees, you know, the legendary Drew Brees. He plays for the New Orleans Saints. I'm going to read it just like the person, too. Drew Brees of the New Orleans Saints plays... or played for what team before the Saints?
The Chargers.
Wow, you're a one for one, Jeffrey. Very good. Starting off with some real heaters right here. Number two, we'll start with this next really hard one. Who was the first pick in the 2019 NFL draft?
Kyler Murray.
Oh, wow, you are on fire, my friend. So far, so good on this NFL trivia. Here we go. Ready for this next one? I mean, okay, I'm gonna go random here. The Houston Texans drafted two players in the NFL draft this season, okay? I'm just making it easier because the question was worded really weird. They were drafted from a college in Texas. Name one of these players. You're not gonna know
what?
It. Yeah, exactly.
No idea.
So let me just kind of recap here. We went from two softballs to a freaking two random Houston Texans players that only went to a Texas university. Name one of those players.
Yeah. That's just, what?
Okay. All right. Name the Broncos stadium they play in.
What is it now? I mean, Mile High, but that's not the actual name of it.
It's not the answer.
Like
exactly.
Sports something at Mile High.
No, it's had like a million names, Jeffrey. I thought this was also a dumb question. So we're going to move on to the next one. It's Empower Field.
Ah.
Yeah, but I remember that joke from ATN. I was like, it's like energy or rock or something. I was trying to think, but sadly I missed that one as well. All right. Name the Ravens mascot.
What?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. NFL trivia.
Right, let's go. Riley the Raven.
No, it's actually, and we got this right actually because we just guessed. We guessed Poe, like Edgar Allan Poe, and that's the freaking name, Poe the Raven.
Wow.
Yeah, like we just honestly total guess. Next one, and these.
Wow, Donald Amendola.
No multiple choice.
The Raven nevermore.
No multiple choice. Name the Steelers mascot. Oh, we are killing it with this NFL trivia, Jeffrey.
I have no idea. Steely Brown. I don't know.
What'd you say?
I said Steely Brown.
Dude, straight up Steely is the name.
Oh, my word.
Another guest by Ashley Soisman coming in hot with the Steely. All right, awesome. Let's do two more here. Who is currently dating Miss Universe?
Didn't they just talk? Someone just talked about this.
Well, I know, because it's NFL. No,
that was on something else.
NFL trivia.
The current Miss Universe?
I guess. I don't know. It just says.
I don't know.
It's Christian McCaffrey, because, you know, plays for the Panthers.
Okay.
And then that's some local trivia. NFL trivia, of course, because we're doing NFL trivia. Dan Marino in 1994 got a visit from this person who made him make an interesting career choice.
What?
The answer, which we got right again also, was Jim Carrey, because it made him play in Ace Ventura. But again, NFL trivia, you know, Jim Carrey was. So just giving you a little teaser.
So were you like ranting this entire time, like this isn't NFL trivia?
No, but there were some old graybeards who were just like, this is NFL trivia, not social media trivia. And then there was one question that the girl that was wrong, and even I went up there and I was like, hey, that's wrong, just so you know. And she's like, I don't write the questions, I just read them. I'm like, oh my god.
No, sorry about that. We'll fix that.
But then, like,
no.
Four people after me went up there and complained about it. I was like, she's getting pissed. Oh, excuse me. Oh, no. We gotta bleep that out. No F's on this. So there you go. That we did end up finishing in second, tied for second.
Yeah.
And we got $20 because the tiebreaker question, oh, my God. Just kill me. I had to do a tiebreaker with this dude and this guy. I mean, just picture the antithesis of me. Is this going to be timed or – and I was like, oh, my God. He's like, oh, I don't know. Is it going to be NFL? And they're like, yes. And the question was, who was the first ever Panther that was cut? And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I just didn't even answer it. I was like, this is a stupid question. And the other guy got it wrong too. And they're like, oh, it was Bill Goldberg. And I was like, oh, my God, the wrestler. Oh, my God. So I really just wanted to, like, cower in my face. But – Anyways, won $20, and because that other tiebreaker was pick a number 1 through 10. I missed that one, unfortunately.
Wow.
There you go, Jeff. But you did very solid. I think you only missed, like, two questions, so you'll have to show up to the next one.
Miss Universe out here. I'm going to have to do my deep.
Oh, my gosh.
Hit page 6 of the NFL.
Speaking of it, let's move it on.
Antonio Brown. I can't even keep up with it anymore. He's arrested. He's out on bail. He's getting filmed doing stupid things, and it's another thing that he gets arrested for. At this point I can't keep up.
The time I wrote this was when the warrant was out, but he has since turned himself in, but then he was like on $100,000 bond or something like that. Maybe he went to Goodfellas, I don't know. But you know, just it's just a weekly update, that's all. So now he has been arrested for slapping the butt, and then I'm sure that's just gonna keep on adding up. And he's since blamed, like, the Saints, and I don't know if you saw that Twitter tirade he went on where he blamed the Saints for not even – they weren't even going to sign him. It was all just a publicity stunt.
I didn't see that. I try to avoid all AB-related things. Yeah,
that's him. We'll tune in next week when we get the next update. There is a prop bet. Will he tweet during the Super Bowl?
Oh, one. I mean, that's an easy bet. Yes, immediately.
The dangerous question is, will he be able to have his cell phone, depending on where he is located at that point?
That's
in time.
True. That's true.
Let's keep it moving here. Eli Manning retired last week. Good for him. Do whatever. We don't need to get into the, you know, the certain debate that's going to happen all the time about him. I just kind of led this into, will Philip Rivers retire? Tom Brady? Because Larry Fitzgerald just re-signed for one more year with the Cardinals. He was part of a legendary draft in 2004, which this was in the trivia, where it went Eli Manning, the legendary Robert Gallery, then Larry Fitzgerald, followed by Philip Rivers, Sean Taylor, Kellen Winslow. Great, great little draft there. But Fitzgerald coming back for one more year. Rivers was part of like this weird rumor thing that Jay Glazer kind of just started by accidentally saying, oh yeah, the Chargers are moving on from Philip Rivers, and it went into this like whole thing where everyone's confirming what Glazer said.
Yeah.
And Glazer kind of was like, oh no, I was just like making a little like a reference if that were to happen. So Next year is gonna, we say this every year. Oh, free agency is gonna be crazy. The NFL offseason is gonna be crazy. But all these old quarterbacks are kind of gonna be floating around. Tom Brady, Phillip Rivers, people like Joe Flacco and whoever knows. The Dolphins are sticking with Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean, he was the best quarterback in the AFC.
Locked in there.
It's going to be crazy where all these old players are going. Like, would you want to see Tom Brady somewhere else? Phillip Rivers? I'm excited. What about you? Where will Andrew Luck play?
Well, he will play in his backyard, likely. Rivers, I thought the move was interesting.
That's
what kind of, I think, gave some credibility, right, to the Glazer story, was that he moved his family to, what is it? Florida. Alabama or Florida?
Florida.
The deep south. Florida. I don't know. The Chargers do have the sixth pick. It's hard to predict what they're going to do because they're going to do something chargery, which seems to not follow any logical conclusions. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, he threw a lot of interceptions last year, but he also made some really nice throws. He can still, when he's hot, he still, can compete with the best in the league. And it's just about what else is out there and what can you get, right? Like, if you can get everyone's saying like a Tua or something like that, and then not have to start him immediately and see what you have in him, see if you can get healthy, have Rivers for a bridge. I don't know. I also don't know what the money situation is with Rivers, if they would be impacted that way. I think Brady will be back with the Pats.
There it is.
I think he'll be back with the Pats. They will go down on that sinking ship, and until they completely crumble, I think he will play. And I don't see last season as a complete, you saw the shaky foundation, but you're going to get every Tom Brady fanboy saying, well, there's no talent around him. Come on, help Tommy out here in his later years.
You just went from a southern accent to a freaking masshole.
that's how far Tom Brady's reached spans from the south to the north.
He knows no bounds.
He knows no bounds.
But it will be nuts. Where will Brady play? We got other players. I forgot to mention, Teddy Bridgewater is going to be a free agent. Drew Brees. I didn't even mention Drew Brees.
Yeah.
They're saying he's either going to retire or play with the Saints. I mean, who knows what's going to happen with that? So we have this young
Jameis Winston.
Oh, where is he? I mean, him, the Chargers would be amazing. Or the Raiders. I would love him on the Raiders. Vegas, just making some Vegas bets all day on Jameis Winston while you're there. I mean, imagine being in the stadium and just being like,
pop, he might pop, not make it out alive.
Call him 3 days grace, dude. All right, so I think this is going to be influx. That we have the young talent. You got the Lamars, Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, all these young quarterbacks finally kind of taking the mantles from all these older players. And something that kind of went unnoticed, by the way, Lamar Jackson, just awful in the Pro Bowl skills competition, if anybody watched
that.
Jarvis Landry with an absolute cannon on some throws. Jarvis Landry and Devontae Adams both scored more points than Lamar Jackson. Just want everybody to know. So Bill Polian was right. After all, hashtag Polian was right. Jeff, let's get to some actual games. How about that?
Let's get to the games before the big game.
Yeah, we got to do a little recap here. We had Tennessee and Kansas City. I think outsiders are saying, the games were kind of boring, blah, 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 blah. I guess being in Vegas kind of made it more exciting for me. I thought the Tennessee-Kansas City game was excellent. I thought, especially that first half, Tennessee was just kind of putting it to them until the very end of that first half when Kansas City scored to take the lead. And that 7-point spread came real close, but Kansas City covered with that -7. And then San Francisco also covered, but they did. Like, that game wasn't that. Now, that game was a blowout. But at the end of the day, you want the two best teams to play in the big game. Last year, and I remember I thought about this. ATN mentioned it as well. Last year, we had the two best championship games pretty much ever with the Chiefs-Patriots and the Rams and the Saints. And then look at the Super Bowl. So I would rather have what kind of happened last week in preparation for the big game and what's setting up to be an amazing matchup. And I kind of wrote here that as of when I wrote this, it's been going from -1 to like a pick 'em, where Kansas City has been favored. And the over-under just went down a little bit. It was 54.5, and I just saw yesterday that it's 52. But I wrote my little note here. I stole from a pod. I think it's called Against All Odds. Good pod on the Bill Simmons Network. There has been 7 Super Bowls, at least the last 7 Super Bowls, where the over-under was 50 or more. Only 2 of them have hit the over. So every time they come up with these 52 over-unders, I mean, last year was the most recent example. Last year, the over-under was 51, I think. And it was 13-3 was the final score.
Yeah.
Patriots-Falcons was over, but that one barely hit, as we all remember that. So that was one of the only ones that actually hit the over when the over-under was 50. I'm excited for this game. I'm going to be watching it in a very weird place. Do you have any big plans for the big game? And who? I mean, and let's just make some picks too. Like, who do you think's gonna win this game?
I think I agree with your little point. I think it's gonna be an under.
Ooh.
I think San Francisco is gonna win. I think their defense is strong enough. Yes, there's so many weapons on Kansas City, but Kansas City's defense just hasn't really had to step up in a big way, and I feel like it's going to be a close game. I think San Francisco and Kyle Shanahan, he'll make it. Jimmy G will make a couple plays. The run game, I think, will continue to maybe not be as dominant as it was in Green Bay, but there'll be a little bit more balance in their game, and they'll just be able to do it. I think, obviously, Kansas City's offense can blow that theory right out of the water and shred a team within 3 minutes. But San Francisco's pass rush is amazing. And I think it allows them to they don't have to bring everyone to get a pass rush, which allows them to use extra guys in coverage, which will be helpful against Kelsey and over the top against Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman and Sammy Watkins and, you know, whoever they're rolling out at running back this week, probably Damian Williams. So I'm going San Francisco. I think to last year's Super Bowl, right, when everyone thought it was going to be an explosion of offense. And, I mean, Kansas City, they can be slowed. They won't be shut down, but I think they'll slow them down enough to get the W. What do you say, Will?
So just to kind of bring it around, last year's over-under was 56. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I agree with some of that. You know, the best way to get pressure is with 4 guys up the middle. I saw another stat where Patrick Mahomes, you know, he's only thrown however many interceptions in his career, like 17, something like that. Only one has been thrown when he was blitzed against. So all the other ones are thrown when he's not blitzed. So it's kind of making him make a throw into coverage of, you know, 7 or 8 guys. So maybe that's what San Francisco is going to have to do. They only blitz on 22% of their defensive plays, which is one of the least in the league because of those 4 dudes. They have Dee Ford. You know, I'm going to try to exact revenge, kind of, I guess. I don't know. Like, is this a revenge game? I don't know. Since he's the reason that the Chiefs didn't go to the Super Bowl last year. Could be. You never know. I think I want the Chiefs to win. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I'm just going to say I want the Chiefs to win. I'll pick them to win. I think Mahomes is just – he's must-watch, like, NFL, must-watch TV. Yeah. He's one of those guys that everyone knows what he looks like. I mean, yeah, it's commercials. Yeah, it's his voice. Yeah, he's popular. But it's really tough for NFL players to get their face out there. I think a guy like Mahomes is just awesome to be that young face of the NFL. And Andy Reid, I mean, poor dude. If he doesn't win this Super Bowl, it's just going to be so bad for his legacy.
Yeah.
He just can't win any huge game. I just – if the Chiefs lose, I hope it's not close. I don't want them where it gets to this point where Andy Reid challenges some stupid play.
Oh, no.
Or,
it's true.
Or there's 2 minutes left. He has no timeouts. You know, like, or he uses one, you know, because the play clock is down. I just don't want to see Andy Reid do some kind of buffoonery. So I'm rooting for the Chiefs. I'm rooting for Andy Reid and Mahomes. And I think they'll win. I think the over will hit, actually. I think that the 49ers have shown they can score points. And to your point about the Chiefs' defense, you know, they'll let it, they'll give up some points. And I just, I think Mahomes is so good. Him, Hill, Watkins, Kelsey are so good that we've seen them. They could be down 20 points. They could be down 10 points and just erase it with one play. So even if the Niners are stopping them all game, I think I can see Mahomes just kind of throwing a bomb or two plays already they're inside the 20-yard line and kind of can just score even if the defense is holding him the whole game. So I like the over, especially, I mean, if it's going down, that means people are obviously betting the under. Mm-hmm. So if that can get down to 51 or so, that'd be a good bet, I think, for myself. So I'm liking the Chiefs and the over. So you're saying the Niners and the under, is that correct?
Correct.
All right. Well, let's get
if
some...
if it goes over, I mean, the Chiefs are winning.
Ah, interesting. Oh, okay. Well,
it's just the...
if it goes over, the Chiefs are winning. So there's no way the 49ers win if it's over. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, they can't win a shootout against the Chiefs.
Put it on the Google Doc. I think the Niners can win a shootout. I could see it being a 3-point game. I could see it being a 15-point blowout. Or I guess you would call that a blowout. I don't know. But we'll put it on the Google Doc. Let's do some hot prop talk real quick.
I think
there's some doozies right here. I'm just going to go to the third line down real quick just to get to the one I talked about earlier with Muffin we did. Oh, that's the first one down. Wow. Never mind. Will a team score in the first 5 minutes of this Niners-Chiefs game? So the theory behind this one, first of all, yes is plus 130. So obviously that is the underdog there. And no is minus 165. The theory on this is teams start slow in the Super Bowl. It kind of, especially in the Patriots, whenever the Patriots play, last year I think was the first time they ever scored on their first possession in the Super Bowl out of 9 times. So teams do kind of go a little easy, scope out, make sure, get the nerves out. But these two teams are the exact opposite of that. I think these two teams are going to do their best to get that lead, especially if you're the Niners. You don't want to let the Chiefs score first and run away with things. So I like this one, plus 130. A team will score in the first 5 minutes.
I think it depends who gets the ball. I think if the Niners get the ball, they don't want to score in the first 5 minutes. So I'm going to go no.
Oh, wow. We'll put that on a little doc as well. See, but that's the thinking was last week too, right? It was, oh, if the Chiefs get the ball against the Titans first, boom. But the Titans got the ball first, and they scored. So it was, you know, doesn't really matter too much who gets it, I guess. But to your point, maybe the Niners want to control the clock, control the ball, make sure Mahomes doesn't get it. This next one is a really good one, I think. It's very interesting to me that I feel like this should be the opposite in terms of the betting. So will a team score 3 straight times without the other scoring? So it could be 3 straight field goals. It could be a touchdown and 2 field goals. It doesn't matter how. It can be a safety and whatever. Just 3 straight times without the other scoring. Yes is minus 185. So they think, or Vegas thinks, or whoever thinks that a team is going to go on a run in this game. And no is plus 150. I really like no.
No. Oh, yeah, no. Bang the no.
I mean, entertainment purposes only, of course. I mean, this is all purely conjecture here, because we both live in states where you can't, you know, legally do this. But if we could, I would absolutely do no as well. How do you like this next one, Jeff? Because I love this one as well. I picked out some good ones, I think.
Oh, yeah. I think this is a yes. Will there be a 2-point attempt? I think both these coaches, they're gonna pull all their tricks out of their bag. They're gonna be going for 2. They're gonna be aggressive in the big spots. I think this is a yes.
Yeah,
if I'm calling a close game, I don't know how it's not.
+135 for yes. I mean, I don't know where Vegas must know something. I don't understand. They get the playbook and where they both teams have said we're not going for it no matter what. It's not will there be a successful 2-point. It's just saying will someone go for it. That's all it says. I think yes is a huge play. Plus 135 for yes. I mean, imagine just doing a little parlay with like 2 of those. Not that that's ever going to happen. I mean, just get a nice little tasty spot right there. It might give me some ideas. Oh, my goodness. Jeff, first touchdown to score in the game. This is always one of the most fun ones. Take a look here. Give me the rundown. What do you think?
Gosh. First touchdown. Let's see. The first Damian Williams going off at 6.5 to 1. Oh my gosh. I know what I want to do. Mahomes at 20 to 1.
Not another one of these.
Come on, boy. Mahomes at 20 to 1. I mean, I'm kind of shocked, I guess, given Kittle's playoff performance, that he's has the same odds as Tyreek and Kelsey going off at 9 to 1. I think the Mahomes one is interesting. The Breida one kind of tickles me a little bit, just knowing that everyone was on Mostert last week, and now Breida can just catch a dump and go 30 yards. I'm not big on the Damian Williams or the Mostert ones. I do the Kelsey one. I would feel like is the, in my eyes, the most likely. So I might go there as well.
I think the Mostert one is just, you know, getting off the hype of 2 weeks ago with that game against the Packers. Maybe it might be a sucker bet. I don't know. I guess it all depends on Tevin Coleman. Like, is Tevin Coleman going to play? Because that's going to shoot up. Or, you know, I didn't even write Tevin Coleman down. I don't even know if he was on the board. I don't remember seeing him. Because that'd be a little spicy one as well. I think Breida is the fun one, like you kind of mentioned, especially if Coleman's hurt. But I think the spicy one for me is Deebo Samuel. 13 to 1. He runs it. He catches it. I think this is a guy who is going to get the ball in his hands when they get close to the red zone, or he's a deep play threat too. So if you're just going for fun and just trying to get that big one, I think Deebo Samuel's a good one at 13 to 1. And I don't think it matters who gets the ball first. If you want to do one on each side.
Yeah.
I mean, you can go if you want to do one Niner and one Chief. Muff did the Mahomes one last week versus the score. It was 22 to 1 there. Sadly, that did not come to fruition. But I guess for the Chiefs, that one's tougher. I mean, both these teams have a lot of talent. I guess with the Chiefs, maybe you go someone like Tyreek. I think either Tyreek or Kelsey are the most logical ones. The running back situation, again, is just kind of, even though Damian Williams seems to be the guy, who knows, McCoy will probably be active and start the first series.
Oh, yeah.
With, you know, Andy Reid, loyalty, all that stuff. So we'll see. Those are some fun ones, though. Might place a little fiver on one of those. MVP. Now, this is another interesting one. And the reason why this is interesting is because of the game itself. Usually if one team is, you know, -4 or one team is heavily favored, you'll get better or worse odds depending. So right now, Mahomes is actually even because there's no pure favorite in this game. So the best thing you could do right now, especially if you were in one of those states, is you would say, okay, if I think Mahomes is winning the MVP, obviously I think the Chiefs are winning the game, the big game. So you would match those two together. Same thing with Jimmy G, who's 2.5 to 1 to win the MVP. Although, the Niners could be a little trickier with the MVP race. But these are the ones here. Which one are you looking at? Is there anyone I didn't kind of put who you might be interested in looking at?
Look, I think it's going to be hard, I guess. I was just looking at the list of prior Super Bowl MVPs. I think we can clearly cross Honey Mostert off this list. The last non-quarterbacks, other than Julian Edelman last year, Von Miller, and Malcolm Smith are the, you know, that before you're getting back to like Heinz
Ward. Julian Edelman won MVP last year?
Super Bowl MVP, yeah.
Wow, I do not remember.
Yeah, I was like very confused too when I saw that. So but it's kind of interesting in that I think to your point, if you think the Chiefs are going to win, get on a little parlay with Mahomes. But Jimmy G, I mean, you kind of feel like, I don't know, maybe Nick Bosa makes a couple big plays in a big spot, gets a strip and score. You know, another deflection interception, something like that. He could find himself in the race at 22 to 1. It's just hard for me to see Kelsey, even if he scores 3 touchdowns again, getting it over Mahomes.
Yeah.
And it's hard for me to see Jimmy G getting it. So I would probably do what you said and go Mahomes, or just place a little teaser on like Nick Bosa.
So I think what I would do, if I want to go out of the box here, and here's my web, my spider web.
Mm.
Who returns punts for the Chiefs sometimes? Not all the time, because Mecole Hardman, I guess, has been kind of in that spot. But they need a big play, right? They're down three, you know, in the fourth quarter. They need to get good field position. Who's lining up to return some punts? Tyreek Hill.
Ooh.
Imagine him breaking off a punt return for a touchdown in a moment that matters. And as well having a great receiving game. But Tyreek Hill makes a game-changing play in the special teams. I think that's what it would take. Now, if we go back to the last time the Niners were in the Super Bowl, see if only it was real NFL trivia, they lost to the Ravens, and Jacoby Jones returned a kickoff for the touchdown in the second half. And he also had a receiving touchdown. He still didn't win MVP. Joe Flacco did, which Jacoby Jones had one of the all-time great games. So even then, if Tyreek Hill did the exact same thing, if Joe Flacco could win MVP, then certainly it would go to Mahomes instead.
Yep.
But I'm still kind of, you know, for 15-1 odds for Tyreek Hill, I think it'd be fun just to kind of try that one. And then, you know, if you're losing all hope on that, then put some on Mahomes. But I think Tyreek Hill would be a nice little fun one to see. And who doesn't want to see exciting plays like that?
No, I totally agree with you. I think from a betting and watching perspective, it's awesome because he is one of those guys who can just wreck a game in 2 seconds. The one wrinkle I'll throw maybe in your web, Will, is does his kind of shady outside the game stuff impact? I don't know how the Super Bowl MVP is actually decided, given that Julian Edelman won it. So if, you know, is Super Bowl brass, is NFL brass going to want Tyreek Hill immortalized on the list of Super Bowl MVPs?
I mean, didn't Ray Lewis win one?
Yes, he did. That's true.
But that was obviously before.
It's kind of funny on this list. They list everyone's stats. And on his, it just says, led a dominant Ravens defense.
What are you looking at?
ESPN, Super Bowl MVPs.
Wow, led a dominant defense. Well, that's true. He did. Him and Malcolm Smith. So I think – I don't think it matters. But, again, that was – I don't know when the Ray Lewis drama happened, so I couldn't tell you. But this is the NFL. They care about what's on the field only, and you know that. They don't really – you know, everyone forgets. Everyone forgets everything once the games are being played. Speaking of the big game, Jeff, where are you watching it?
TBD. Trey actually has to work on Super Bowl Sunday, so there's been discussions by executive producer of the pod, Gregory, that he might be hosting at his place. You know,
like his parents' house or like his little apartment in Tustin.
That's a good question. Didn't follow up on that. I assumed it was his Tustin place, but now that you bring up his parents' place, I mean that would be convenient for everyone. A bit more space for everyone to spread out and enjoy the big game. They got a bigger TV than Greg's little, like, 32. but, you know, if all else fails, people – shoot, we just canceled our cable. So I don't know if we can
host
the big game anymore.
Canceling cable Maroon.
Maroon.
Well, it's on broadcast TV. You just get yourself a little rabbit ears, dude, and you'll be fine.
I know, we do have basic, but it's non-HD, so I mean, I actually put on some non-HD the other day, hurt my eyes after a while.
Shakira in non-HD, I mean, what are you doing to yourself?
It was kind of funny, this is a quick aside, I mean, you bring up Shakira, we have a new CEO here at Taco Bell, and who knows, he's a big Green Bay Packers fan, and so we were giving him a little bit of a guff after their loss, and he said, you know, it doesn't matter, because we got Shakira in the Super Bowl, those hips don't lie, so there we go.
Hey, wow, CEO dropping in a big spot. You know, I'm working as well on Sunday, randomly for the hotel. I'm not happy about it. I've worked, I think, 2 Sundays so far, and one of them is going to be Super Bowl Sunday, so that's fantastic. Hopefully there'll be. I've voiced my displeasure, and I asked if there's going to be a TV, and they said there will be. So it's like somebody wants to have a Super Bowl party at this place, which is just throwing money away. But I'll still be able to watch it, and it doesn't start till 6:30 Eastern. So can't wait to stay up all night for that. Jeff, it was a pleasure. We made this happen. Get your bets in. Put it on the Google Doc. The big game preview. All the feels. Fantasy podcast. We got to stop being strangers. We're going to keep this happening. Get that cable bill back, Jeffrey. I mean, what are you doing? Hey, unless you're stealing the rents, dude. We'll talk to you hopefully next week. Peace.
Peace.